listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, November 19th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. You know, as always, I'm very happy to be here.
Very happy to have you with me, as always. Couldn't do it without you. And we couldn't do this without our listeners and the people that join us every week. And, you know, we appreciate your contributions. I love seeing you in chat. I love all of the back and forth that we have. But I also want to thank those that catch up with us from the archives, too. We do get feedback from you, and we appreciate you taking the time out of your week to listen. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, before we get into tonight's topic, we will start with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And finally, 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, tonight, very excited, we have a guest with us, and I'm very pleased to welcome Dr. Doug Kelly.
Hi, everybody. Good to be with you again. I know I was here, a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about, some topic.
It was a good topic.
It was futility. It's just futile talking about that, right? So, we talked about futility, and tonight we're going to talk about being in a rut and how to get out of a rut. And, you know, I think this is a topic that kind of resonates with a lot of people, because we've all been in a rut at one point or another, or more than once in our lives. And in the student newsletter this week, I wrote an article and included that, Are You in a Rut? How to Get Out? And so I know many of you have read that, and I hope it's helped. And what I'm going to do is go over that a little bit and expand on it in certain ways. And, you know, sometimes it's just better to talk about this and hear it verbally rather than just read it. So that's what we're going to do right now, and have a little bit of a discussion on it. So we can all get in a rut at times, and maybe you're in a rut right now and trying to figure out what to do. Well, I do have the answer, and it was in the newsletter, but I'm going to really expand on that. You know, there's so many things going on in the world, in the country, U.S. anyway, right now, and in many countries. And there's a lot of fear and a lot of uncertainty. And, you know, just like I teach about paranormal investigations, you know, the two overriding things that you get out of paranormal investigations is fear or confusion, you know. So some people are afraid of it. Other people are confused by it because you're trying to figure it out. Fear and confusion. It's like the stock market. You know, they hate uncertainty, and there's always fear and confusion there as well. So it's understandable if we're afraid or confused or both about what's going on in the world. I do want to say, though, that even though we have a lot of stuff going on, it ain't going to last forever. You know, remember, this too shall pass. It's not going to last forever. And, you know, when you really look at the statistics of crime and things like that, we're doing better than we ever have. So, you know, have some hope on that one. But it's all the stuff going on can create adversity in our lives. And we may have adversity from other areas, from financial issues to personal issues, relationship. There can be all kinds of things that can create adversity. And as one of the things, if you're a student, that you have learned or will learn about adversity is that I define adversity as a state of disorder. So if you think about adversity, something is not in its proper order. It's out of whack. It's out of its place. If you use the analogy of a cluttered room, you go in there, there's stuff all over the floor. Maybe it's a bedroom. You know, the bed's unmade. There's stuff all over the floor, stuff all over the dresser, things like that. You walk into the bathroom, it's a cluttered mess. That's kind of what adversity's like. And so the one thing that we want to do to get rid of the adversity is figure out what needs to go back in its proper place. And so like with the room or bathroom analogy, you pick it all up. You make the bed. In fact, Zig Ziglar used to teach that and talk about how if you just make your bed every day, you know, your room is mostly cleaned up. I mean, making the bed is a big, big part of that. So you make the bed, you pick up all the clutter, you put it everything in its proper place. And I know we've all done this. And once we're done, we feel great, right? Wow. It's like a relief. It's like a burden off our shoulders even. And it's just a room, a cluttered room that was picked up and uncluttered. And so that's what adversity is. You got to figure out what is it that needs to be put back in its proper order. So if you're in a rut, what is the source of that? You know, is it depression? Is it just a funk? Is it that you're afraid of what's going on in the world? Whatever it is, identify it. And we usually know what it is. I mean, I get into quasi ruts, if you will, and they're not really ruts, but they're kind of similar when I'm between projects. I enjoy projects. I love working on things, doing things, rebuilding things, you know, various things like that. And sometimes I'm between projects, like right now. And so I know that that's the source of, you know, the lack of motivation or inspiration because I'm just between. But so whatever it is for you, identify it. Then you're kind of halfway there if you just figure out what it is that's creating the rut. That's going to make a big difference. But let's talk about the most powerful way to get out of a rut. This is pretty much the way to do it. And especially if you're depressed or anything like that, melancholy, lack of motivation, lack of inspiration, all of that can be kind of put into the same rut, all in the same rut. So here's the deal. You may or may not have heard of logotherapy. It was created and developed by Dr. Viktor Frankl in the mid-20th century. I mean, he was a prisoner at Auschwitz and at least that concentration camp. I don't remember if he was in another one. I think he was just in that one, but he lost his wife, kids, daughter, and he lost his logotherapy manuscript, which he had just been working on, and he lost that too. And he had to go through that horrible, horrible thing. And he made it out alive, and it was a huge lesson for him in human nature. So that's what logotherapy is. And it's a meaning-based therapeutic approach. It's logotherapy is all about meaning, you know, bringing out meaning. And so in logotherapy, there's a term called dereflection. And it's easy. It just means that you redirect your focus away from yourself. The bottom line with being in a rut is you're wrapped up inside your own head. Dr. Vicky, you talked about this before. People need to get out of their head, that kind of thing.
Which is very different than just having a bad day.
Yes, yes.
It goes on for a while. I sure do. Yep.
Yes. So that's the big problem. I know that when I get into a rut or get into a funk or whatever, I can tell you right now, a couple of things are going on. I'm too self-focused and I'm taking myself too seriously. So I have to remind myself of that all the time. Don't take yourself too seriously. You know, it's not all about you. It's not all about them. It's all about us. So this dereflection means redirecting your focus away from you, outside of your head. So how do you do that? Well, it starts with thinking, obviously. Another thing that Zig Ziglar used to talk about, I really enjoyed what he taught, the late Zig Ziglar, but he talked about changing the channel. You know, if you see something or on TV or some movie or somewhere that it just really upsets you, change the channel. Think about something else. Put on a song, put on a different movie, change the channel. And so that's what you need to do with redirecting your focus outside of you. So this can be a number of things. The best thing you can do to get out of a rut is to go out and help other people. In metaphysical humanism, we talk about paying it forward. And paying it forward is the work that metaphysical humanists do. We pay it forward. And so what you want to do is figure out a way to go help other people in a meaningful way. Now, or volunteer somewhere where they need it, like an animal shelter or, the soup kitchen or whatever, the homeless shelter, anything like that, where look around your community. What can you do to go help other people or help something? You know, one of the things I've been doing for years is cleaning up trash around the neighborhood. I do it, a couple times a week, go out on my golf cart and just buzz around the neighborhood and pick up stuff. Today I did it, got a mother load of stuff. You know, people just throw stuff away. And so that's getting your focus outside of yourself and having a benefit to others or the earth or animals or something like that. That's the key. And I can't emphasize that enough. Go do something to pay it forward. In fact, just before the program started, I got an email from one of my students, and she is telling me how she's going to continue her classes here in a few days because she has a big event. She says, we feed 150 homeless people every year, and this year we've got 6 grocery stores donating. So she's busy picking up all the supplies. And you see, that's getting outside of yourself. That's making a difference somewhere. So I'm going to pause for a second and let you two share any thoughts you may have.
Well, I'm just going to insert here. Wendy just put the link in to Amazon, Man's Search for Meaning, Introduction to Logotherapy. By Viktor Frankl. So you can find the book online.
Yeah, it's for me, I read it once, decades ago. It was a tough read for me, but I learned from it. Michael, any comments?
How was it a tough read, do you find?
Because of his experiences in the concentration
camp. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll do it.
I still have the book.
Some of the toughest books to read are the best ones.
Mm-hmm.
But
I will agree to that because I think you got to be in the right mindset to take in lessons like that and experiences through stories of trauma that hopefully most of us will never know the kind of things that he went through. But there is a lot to be gained from that. And I think what you were talking about earlier is key, right? First off, absolutely. I am very similar to you. I don't really know why, but I'm very similar to you in that. I know in that when I am in a rut, often I am just too much in my own head, but I also love how you touched on, you go around the neighborhood, you pick up trash, and that is, giving back to the community. And I think, there's a benefit to embracing our humanity in the full sense, meaning we know that we're the human animal, and by connecting with one another and doing good for one another, it really pays dividends when it comes to getting out of a rut, when it pays to mental health and, a sense of purpose, just coming back to that whole thing. Loneliness is far more destructive than almost anything else. I mean, being alone and lonely is worse for your health than smoking. So that's why I smoke 3 packs a day and socialize as much as I can. But, you know, I just think that, you know, I love that you touched on that. Those are the two key points that are the huge takeaways from me right now tonight listening is, yeah, you know, sometimes we do get too inside of our own heads. We take ourselves too seriously. We don't see the grand tapestry, right? We don't see all of the good things happening at the same time as the bad things, you know, forever. Mm-hmm. And when we also start giving back to each other, to our communities, to our loved ones, friends, we, you know, enrich our own lives. It's one of the redeeming qualities of humanity and being that human animal. So those are my two cents.
Well, you know, I think sometimes we become, well, I don't think of it sometimes, I think all the time, we become very privileged and self-entitled, and we have way too much time on our hands. And that self-focus of me, you know, kind of where the self-esteem movement kind of backfired, kind of made us narcissists in a way. It's if you got too much time on your hands, and I'm not saying depression hasn't always been around or people mm-hmm. haven't always felt this way, but, you know, we have to think in perspective how spoiled we are. We don't have to go out and chop wood. We don't have to haul in the coal or haul the water in, just enough to get through a day. You know, we have everything provided for us, so we don't have to get up at 4 or 5 in the morning and stoke the fire. You know, it's a matter of, and that was survival. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say you're not feeling things or thinking things, but you had to always do something. And I think that's in line with Viktor Frankl, you know, saying, go out and do something rather than self-focused. Focus on something outside the self and get doing things. Yeah. I mean, we're very spoiled people.
Well, you know, we can be spoiled as long as we help spoil everybody, right? Everybody should be spoiled equally, you know?
Yeah.
But that's a whole nother topic. So great points. And remember that, folks, if you're in a rut, identify why, but what can you do to help? What, you know, how can you be part of the solution rather than the problem? And if you're just laying around, you're depressed, you're moping, you're uninspired, you lack motivation, I get it. Dig deep. Bring out your resolve. You know, if you, in similar thread as what you were, both of you were speaking of earlier, some of these videos that you can find on, you know, the universe, how big it is, you know, and it starts out at Earth, mm-hmm. you know, a country where somebody's standing and then kind of zooms out. You see the Earth and then the moon and, you know, on and on through the solar system and then the galaxy and then the other galaxies. Folks, right now there's an estimated 2 trillion galaxies in the visible universe. 2 trillion. Trillion. I mean, that's a big number. And in these galaxies, you know what? There's an average of a couple hundred billion stars, so they estimate, on average. Every star, or nearly every star, if not every star, has planets around it. You think we're the only ones around? Uh-uh. Absolutely not. The universe is teeming with life. You know, it's just a huge place, and it's hard to connect with the next door neighbors because they're so far away. But it's mm-hmm. teeming with life. Folks, think about their planet. What's their day like? You know, and then we look at our planet, and right now, of course, we don't know for a fact that there's life out there. We haven't done any proof yet to our knowledge. But that means this is it. This is our planet. These are our people. You know, there's one race, the human race. There are no different races. We're all one race. And so we have to get outside of our head. We have to expand. You know, it's like being in a forest and all you can see is a few trees around you. And you go out, you back up, and you zoom out and get out of the forest. Now you can see the whole forest. And now you have a better perspective on what is encompassed in that forest. And that's the same thing with life. Go help people. Do something to help people. Let somebody in traffic, right? Somebody, let them get in front of you. Let them pull out. Whatever it is. Pay for somebody's coffee. Whatever it is, to pay it forward in some way every day. And that in itself can help. Just searching, thinking, being open to opportunities as they present themselves each day to pay it forward. And one of the a good way to pay it forward is, you know, if you work, you go to work, be cheerful. Good morning. How are you doing today? And be sincere. You know, the gift of a good word is a powerful, powerful thing that encourages people. And that's the thing we need. We need encouragement. People need to be encouraged. And we can help with that by being positive and gracious and encouraging just with how we treat people. So there's some good things to think about. One other aspect. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that Wendy inserted in chat that she believes that even if you're feeling in a rut or down, get out of the house, even if it's just to the gas station. Go somewhere, mm-hmm. talk to people. It'll perk you up. And
absolutely.
Kind of in line with what you're saying.
Well, it is. Get out. And that's a good point. Get out of the house. Go do a day trip or an hour trip somewhere. Go to a park or wherever. Go look. Go feed the ducks. You know, whatever. Get out of your head. Get out of your house. Good point, Wendy.
Yep.
All right. So one other aspect I want to talk about, and this is directed at students who might be having a challenge finishing their degree program at either IMHS or TFU. You know, life can come up. I mean, we've had students who complete the program, all three degrees, in, you know, a month or two. And I've had students who've taken 12 years, you know, and they get distracted. And a lot of students want it and they want to do it. But you know what? Sometimes it's just easier to watch a TV show than it is to study a course. Now, when I created these schools years ago, I knew that. And one of the things I teach is you can't fight human nature. You better work with it or you're going to lose every time. And so I knew that these courses needed to be simple, if you will, simple or easier to complete. That doesn't mean they're a cakewalk. It just means that they're not so complicated. You don't have so many zillions of things to do to complete a course. You know, it's pretty straightforward. You study the material. You take an exam. If you want, you can take the optional final exam or an optional assignment and get, help your grade. But that's it. You do it. You go from one segment in the course to the second, to the third, to the fourth and fifth. And they're usually right around there, four or five segments. And you finish it. And so many students really want that degree because it's going to – I mean, it's an accomplishment. It's something to be proud of yourself for. And they want it, but they just get a bit of a rut not being able to do the courses. So in this case, I want to encourage you to rethink why, remember why you enrolled in the first place. You know, you can do this. Students are doing it all the time. And I have certain students who, you know, they want to write a book and they want doctor on the book. So they're driven. They want to get this program done and they want to get their degree so that they can, you know, print their book, write their book, whatever it is, do their speech, you know, give a talk somewhere and they have the PhD. They're driven. What's going to drive you? What will drive you to complete it? Think of the pride that you'll have in yourself for accomplishing this. It's something to be proud of. And if you just work at it a little bit at a time, you can do this. You can complete this in no time. A lot of students will spend 30 minutes every day or every couple of days in studying, but they do it religiously. They get it done. It's not that hard, and they move through the courses. If you think about it, if you've been not doing courses for months or years, that time has passed. And so time is going to pass whether you do it or not. So why not just spend a few minutes a day studying and you'll get through it because you can do this. I know you can. Don't be too discouraged. Dig deep. Find your resolve And this will also help you get out of the rut because you're doing something that's positive, upbuilding. You're doing something that's for yourself, which is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with doing something for yourself as well as helping other people. So my summation is if you're in a rut, that just simply means you're too self-focused. You're too much inside your head and you need to get out of it. Don't take yourself too seriously. Get out of your head. Change your channel. Go help somebody. Go do something meaningful. Feed the homeless. You know, work, you know, volunteer at an animal shelter. Feed the ducks. Pick up trash in your neighborhood. But do it regularly. That's the point. Do it regularly.
I find that in my life, I'm the go-to for research. In fact, here, some people I know really involved with the Humane Society are having trouble with the SPCA. Who in the government do they call to complain? And I said, well, that ought to be this and this. And they said, no, I don't think so. We've been looking. I can't find anything. Well, I get online and I find exactly where they need to go. Oh, thanks. So they're writing their letters. And I love research. So it's like being available to people when they need something that you know you have and you can do for them. I don't necessarily want to join the Humane Society, but everybody has something they can offer people, something that they're known for being good at. So if you tell people, hey, look, if you ever need a hand, let me know. And people will take you up on it. You know, my late teacher Frank would say, we only use our friends. You don't ask the guy next door to help you load up your truck, you know. So, and it's very true. So even in your, you know, sphere of influence, you know, Aaliyah just said in the chat, she loves research. Well, tell people, you know, I love to do research. If anybody needs a hand with something, you know, let me know. Audrey just said she likes to be that friend as well. So, you know, it's oh, thanks, Dr. Kevin. He says he has two state-issued licenses based on master's degree with top from top universities, but he has found the completion of the doctoral program at IMHS as being one of the most worthwhile programs he's ever taken. That's a great compliment.
Thank you, Dr. Kevin. Might use that if that's okay with you. Put that in the newsletter.
Oh, I mean, but you know, it is, and it's self-challenging, the IMHS and TFU programs, but that's the point. When people are just trying to fill your head with info that you need to regurgitate versus give you ideas, suggestions that you can reflect on, self-reflect. But I think, and that's what the school does, but I think we do that for each other in our circles. And I always say a sphere of influence, you know, your circle of friends or associates. Yeah. And, you know, kind of, I mean, we can all talk muffin recipes, right? But, you know, ask people what they think. I had a client the other day who's a mom. And temporarily laid off from a job, so she has time with her kids. And I said, you'll be fine. Just enjoy the time with your kids. But get to know them and be emotionally available. I said, in my 50-plus years of working with families, when I ask a kid, how do you feel about that, or what do you think, they're flabbergasted. They don't know how to answer because nobody's asked them.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, oh, I never thought of that. And I said, even if you don't agree with the answer, listen and respond in a way, wow, I hadn't thought of that before. You know, because I've been thinking this way, because that gets critical thinking going. So even in your sphere of influence, like, don't hesitate to ask people how they're feeling. What do you think about something that shows an interest and you're getting outside your head?
And you're encouraging them too, and yourself.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, it's like a gift. The more you give away, the more you keep, you know, that type of a thing. So anyway, I hope this discussion has helped
those
who might be in a rut. And I'll be back in a couple of weeks again, 1st of December, and going to talk about another topic. It's either going to be entitlement or obligations. You know, we all have obligations, but some are self-imposed, some are imposed by honest by others, and so forth.
Oh, good topic. And so, but I guess we're not here next week, are we?
No, we're going to not have a program next week because of the Thanksgiving holiday and just to give everybody a little bit of a break. But we'll be back in 2 weeks, so you'll have me then, too, for people. All right. I'm going to leave you two to continue the program. And, again, thanks, everybody, for tuning in, either live or on the archives. I appreciate it. And if you have any questions for me, you can always email me. I reply promptly. And if you have any topics you'd like to have me address, I would love to hear those, too. Anyway,
thanks Kelly.
Everybody. Have a great night.
You, too. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Good discussion tonight, Michael.
It was.
Yeah.
You know, I was laughing to myself at the outset. We talked about how a couple weeks back we had Dr. Kelly on. He talked about, you know, futility and how to get through that. But I thought, well, if you think about futility too much, it puts you in a rut. Now we can get you out of the rut. It's all, it's a symmetry to it. Mm-hmm. But
I can't wait till we talk about entitlement. I mean, makes me kind of bonkers these days, you know. It's
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, it's gonna be a good discussion, and I appreciate everybody joining us tonight. Hope you know. I know we're gonna get into some cards here too. Hope that you really took something away from this, and appreciate everybody's, you know, understanding too. You know, when it comes to the Thanksgiving holiday next week, you know.
Yeah.
I will say.
Well, it's not here. We had ours in October, so.
Well, yeah, but in the civilized world is what I'm talking about. I'm kidding, obviously, you know.
That's funny.
Frankly, I sometimes think, man, Canada looks really nice. It has snow up there. I'm in Florida. It gets too hot. I think it was in the 80s today.
We don't have snow yet.
You don't have snow yet?
No, we only get winter for 3 months max. So, I'm in the Okanagan. I'm in the paradise.
Oh.
So, of Canada.
Sounds nice.
We don't. No, I mean, it's above zero. It's still like sweater weather, light jacket weather. And the mountains, high altitudes have snow, but we don't in the valleys. So, Vancouver, we'd be getting more rain. There's some winters we hardly get snow, and then other winters we get a ton of it, so we never know. But
well, variety is nice.
And by March, the flowers are blooming.
That does sound quite nice.
It is.
It sounds actually perfect. And you have universal health care?
And we do.
Can you sponsor me?
What's that?
Can you sponsor me?
I think you're within the right age group that they changed the immigration laws now, so, you know, some things, but yeah. And in fact, we now have a federal dental program for seniors and people under certain incomes. Dental is free.
Well, that's very impressive. I like to hear that. Dental is so expensive, and I don't mean to go off on a healthcare tangent. I was about to say, I'm kidding anyway. I do absolutely, jokes aside that I've made over the years, I truly love Canada, the culture, the weather, the, you know, climate, the geography, I guess is what I'm getting at. It's beautiful. The people are wonderful. I've always loved it. But I do love my country, too. And I wouldn't mind living in the mountains again, but I'm gonna stick around for a while and see what we got going. But we do have some cards in. And
we do.
Can't delay too long, but again, thank you everybody for joining us tonight. We got a good crowd here, and so we're going to dive right into the cards, but let us know in the chat if you haven't yet, if you like one. And so far, I first have, and you can correct me here, but I have Aaliyah.
We do.
All right. And Aaliyah, tonight you get number 34. Whoop, had it and dropped the book. Number 34. That is take and release ownership. And this is actually kind of perfect, considering the next topic we have. Ownership and entitlement are not the same. Ownership is taking responsibility with a healthy attitude. Entitlement is expecting more than what is earned. Further, codependence is taking an unhealthy ownership for other people's problems and feelings. This may be a time to reflect on owning only what is yours and releasing the rest. It's a good card.
I got the Chariot for you, Aaliyah. I think you're doing exactly that. You're looking around at what belongs to you, what doesn't belong to you, and perhaps what belongs to other people. Like Dr. Kelly says, don't do for others what they can and should be doing for themselves. So I think that you're, according to this, going through a bit of that kind of a process. You know, we do this not just once or twice in our life, but we do it kind of in phases of life. You know, we get caught up in our own stuff and others. And I think you're doing a bit of a cleansing, Aaliyah, of people and energy, and that's a good thing. So that's just an affirmation to you. I like that. Okay, right. We have Dawn next, I think.
Dawn, for you tonight, I have number 41, communication. The most important form of communication is with the higher self, reflecting on one's spiritual evolution. A good communicator both listens and speaks equally, interactively, and with interest. A poor communicator either talks too much or listens too much. A lack of communication will kill any relationship, and communication is the most effective method for ending an unhealthy relationship. Assertive communication is direct, honest, empathetic, and it focuses on win-win. Communication, along with trust, is one of the two most important relationship traits. Hope that connects.
Well, the Eight of Hearts, Eight of Cups. I think there's times in all of our lives where we just don't know what to say. And sometimes we think it's better to say nothing than have a discussion. And I think you're learning kind of that, Dawn. This is saying that there might be a situation now where nothing you can say is going to make it better. And it's sometimes avoiding certain topics with people. But it does actually give us an indicator of who's who and what's what, and learning better how to communicate with people when it's a limited topic.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of a process. You might be going through that right now, Dawn. If not, then pretty quick. So we got a whole bunch of names here, so we're going to peel on through this. Jacqueline is next, Michael.
All right, Jacqueline, for you, I have number 27, gains. Every choice and action has a trade-off and result. What are you willing to trade for this result or gain? A secondary gain has a price for getting what we want, and the price is denial of a truth of a situation or a truth of behavior. This may be a time to assess if something needs to be traded for improved benefits. Healthy decisions are sure to bring about positive results and satisfying gains.
Oh, yeah. Well, Eight of Spades is, you know, sometimes we feel kind of confined and, you know, don't have an insight, or, you know, our intuition is kind of all we have. And so you have to follow that gut feeling, even though you can't necessarily figure out the whys and wherefores. Follow your intuition on this one, Jacqueline, of how you want to get there. You know, wake up one morning and the voice says to you, yeah, do it. Then that's what you do. So getting rid of old stuff, but moving forward closer to your goals and what you want. So we have Audra next.
I was on mute. Audra, welcome.
I knew it.
I have number 13 for you, positive consciousness. Feels like it's been a minute since we pulled this one. It is our soul's natural inclination to be positive. Therefore, positive consciousness transcends positive thinking. As human beings, we can find ourselves with a need to filter negativities and ill will. Be at peace with your natural self and continue displaying goodwill towards others. Don't hate or hold hatred in your heart. Maintain your positive attitude even in the face of obstacles and discouragements, for they are temporary. That's a good card.
Well, I got strength for you, Audra. You know, Audra, you've come a long way. You really have. And you're not just thinking about being positive. You really are positive. Like you're internally, your light is showing. Even when you're faced with, you know, controversy or challenges, that strength in you is showing. So keep going just the way you are. You've got this. This is just them up there saying, we see you.
I like it. All right. I believe we have Dr. Kevin next. And again, Dr. Kevin, thank you so very kindly for your very kind words earlier. And I have number 29 for you tonight. Pay it forward. Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way that you can pay it forward right now?
Ooh, the world. I think it's twofold. What others are paying forward to you, and you're paying forward to them. So it's I'm seeing an exchange, a fair and equitable exchange of energies. So even if you don't have to give back to somebody who's given to you, but you're passing that energy along, just like others are, you know, forwarding it to you. The world says also there's opportunities ahead, Kevin. So, I don't know. I want you to pay attention. Like, give attention to even the small things that plant a seed or an idea and or a connection with someone. And I want to say reach out to someone that if their name comes up. That just popped in my head, Michael, so I'm going to go with it. All right.
Go with it.
That's a good one. Yeah. Dr. Jeff. You guys have to, especially as Wednesday, little videos, you know, he gets on there and tells a joke. Like, what did the blind guy say when he ran into the bar? Ouch. He has some of the silliest stuff. But I appreciate you, Jeff. So what do you got for Jeff, Michael?
Jeff, this is perfect. That's grounded humor. And for you, I have number 37, groundedness. Remain grounded by looking for evidence that supports or refutes claims or belief. Have a compelling and defensible basis for your beliefs, especially esoteric beliefs. An absence or denial of evidence does not assure a truthful conclusion. Be willing to examine beliefs, assumptions, and opinions, and weigh them against facts. Suspend judgment until you have considered all of the facts, or have more facts to uncover. Adjust opinions when new facts are found. It's a good card.
Oh, I love this Six of Hearts, that Six of Cups. Jeff, has to do with family and community, and I think you're growing your platform, and maybe it's been slow to this point, but I'm not just saying that to blow smoke up, you know. I'm saying that sincerely. Groundedness, and you're staying so grounded, you keep it real, and it's about community, and I think you're going to start having people reach out to you, so keep going, Jeff. Keep doing it. Wendy just said you had that card back in February, so I think you're back on your game and more, Jeff. That's awesome. A shout out to Danelle. We haven't seen Danelle for a while. She's saying hello and would like a card, Michael.
Well, so happy to see you again, Danelle. And for you tonight, I picked number 9, empowerment. Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution in principle for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others. Love that card, and I think it fits tonight so well.
Yeah. Well, I got the moon. The moon always says there's a mystery. So when it comes to empowerment, there might be something you're seeing for the first time. Like, it's probably always been there, but you hadn't seen it in that way before, or you hadn't seen it with that twist, or you hadn't had that take on it. So I think that empowerment doesn't necessarily mean I'm the boss of me in a cocky way, but empowerment means a you can, I am, and a real sense of self. So I think that you're going through a little rite of passage in your own way. So cool. That's really cool. Card keeper Wendy, but before we pull that, I'm going to go back here. Wendy said she got caught up in all the cards. Mm-hmm. She is our card keeper. She said October 15th was interesting. We had quite a few cards in the 30s pulled. And she said, you're right, Michael. And we had Paradox number one pulled on the same night, and three people had that card in 2 weeks. Mm. Matches were Donna, number four, and Dr. Kevin, number 10. And for those of you who don't know, twice a year, Wendy and I, well, you know, I kind of got coerced into doing the tarot, keeping track of all this stuff. But Wendy has been awesome for a long time, mapping out patterns and kind of what kind of energy, like, overall have we been seeing the first 6 months, the second 6 months of the year. And mm-hmm. it's quite astounding. Sometimes we say, boy, this is random chaos. And other times, yeah, we got a lot of people in a collective going through stuff. You know, so it's interesting.
It very much is. And, you know, I'll always throw a shout out and a thank you to Wendy for volunteering to do this. And, you know, it has it's added something to the whole thing. It's given us perspective on trends and the patterns that come up. So thank you for that. And I have one of my favorite cards right under Paradox. It's wild card number four, Unknowable.
Oh, I love that card.
Oh, that's a good one. There are mysteries in the universe. Not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind and you change your world. Change your mind and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't like unknowable because we feel like we don't have control, or we don't, you know, we're not driving the force. I like it because I'm just kind of like being on the precipice, you know, you never know what's going to happen. Don't get me wrong. I like control as much as anybody else, but I like control over myself. I like to have a good direction in life. And sometimes the absolute unexpected happens, Wendy. And unknowable for you is the Ace of Hearts. So that Ace of Cups means you might be at a point saying, I have no idea where this is leading. And it unexpectedly takes a turn into something really good that you hadn't anticipated. So even if you're in that moment of saying, I don't know what's going on, just keep doing what you're doing because I have a good feeling about what's coming your way next.
Mm.
I think that's pretty cool.
Me too. I love to hear it.
So she said her last card, the last time, was a wild card, also number four. So you're in the wild cards.
Yeah. And yeah, so two unknowables back to back. That's kind of crazy. So very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. It is. Well, it's been a good program.
It has.
And I didn't mean for that to seem rushed in choosing cards, but when you got that many people, you got to get through it. And we do like doing it, though. I'm a big fan of all of you. I want you to know that. Of course, I have a soft spot for, you know, some people, like Jeff and his wife, Shauna. And there's a lot of people I have a soft spot for. Wendy and, you know, my list is long. Like, I got a soft spot for you too, Michael.
Aww.
So, I know.
Likewise.
It's, but, you know, back to what Dr. Kelly said, you know, I think we all can find ourselves a little bit self-saturated. And yeah. I'm the first one to say, Michael, I can stay home all day.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have to go out in the world. I am so good on my own. Yeah. But, I can call up a friend and say, hey, do you want to go for lunch or you want to go shopping or something? Mm-hmm. But I get in artwork and I, mm-hmm. I get doing stuff. And, I'm allergic to my cat, right? And the other morning I woke up all... Oh, man, my eyes were even watering. So, of course, I get lost in stripping the bed and mopping floors and cleaning everything. And thing, yeah, 2 or 3 days without changing my pillowcase and I'm paying for it. So I don't have to go out. But I remind myself, Michael, go out for a drive. Just get in your car mm-hmm. and go for a drive. Now, if you don't have a car, get on a bus. The bus will always come back to where it started, so don't worry about that. But I go out, and I, even if it's one thing at the grocery store, if it's pick up the phone and call a friend, and I don't like walking for the sake of walking. I know a lot of people do. I have a treadmill for that. But just get out in the world and, I don't know, buy a bag of carrots. And say hi to the cashier. It breaks up your day and the monotony, and make sure that you're staying in your own good mental health, and that's also emotional health, and it helps your spiritual well-being.
Wonderful.
That was
said.
A bit of a speech.
I like it. No complaints for me. But no, I think that this is one of those things, tonight's topic and this discussion, it's one of those universal things, We all get in ruts. We all have experienced these things. And when we're in the middle of it, just like you said, it can be difficult to figure our way out of it. So just it's always wonderful to share some wonderful tips and guidance on how to get out of those. And also, it's a good thing to remember that we all do go through it. So that person cutting it off in traffic, they've had some pretty nasty days themselves. I think the fact that we do have these shared experiences, like we've all been in ruts, like we've all had to deal with tragedy and pain, it can help us empathize with one another, and otherwise we might not want to. And I think that is a good thing, and we offer each other some grace and cut some slack for each other, because it can get rough out there from time to time. So,
well, the crazier the world gets, the calmer I get. And I mean this. People are out there in a frenzy. I slow down. I do 2 or 3, in our case, Ks per hour under, not miles. And you want in? Go ahead in. You want to pass me? Knock yourself out. I had a thing in a parking lot today, Michael. I got to tell you this. I'm, nose in, and the guy is nose out. And we both got in our vehicles at the same time. And I thought, no, I'm going to let him go first. That guy, he didn't look for any cars. He just zoomed right out. And I was about to turn. Of course, I would have hit the nose of his car, the driver's side, because he was on my left. And I thought, the intuition. You need to go that back, guy? You go right ahead. I don't care. I just let people – and I found that it's a little bit contagious. When people have been shown some kind of kindness, like I let somebody in, they just let somebody else in ahead of them. And I went, yes, that's how it's supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
chill out.
Give a little,
just
get a little.
Chill out, everybody. Sorry?
Give a little, get a little.
Yeah, well, just chill out. Mind you, last month I had a few days in a big city. That made me mental. I came home, I was just so glad to be in a small town. It's like, freeways.
Yeah, I know. Yep. I can appreciate both, although, I like visiting the cities. I like being in the cities. I love the energy. You can just feel it, coursing through the city, all the excitement and the creativity and the hustle and bustle of everything. But I also love living out in the burbs, where you kind of have some nature close by, have some, bigger lawns and just for some more relaxed pace. It's kind of a, I like a little bit of, I like to have my cake and eat it too, let's put it that way. But, you know,
now, I'm going to tell you a quick story, Michael. I was on a freeway, inside lane. I'm doing 10 over. That's a fast lane. I know it's a fast lane. I don't want to get in those other lanes because they're off-ramps, and I don't want to get lost in an off-ramp. I got a long way to go. Well, this guy behind me is flashing his headlights at me, wants me to speed up. And I went, no. So I slowed down to the speed limit. Oh, he was not happy. He whipped around me. 3 minutes later, there's another guy doing the same thing to me, but I'm already speeding. Right. I'm not going to speed more. So I'm with all my kids, my two sons-in-law, my daughters, and I'm telling them this story, and they said, yeah, but you were in the passing lane, you shouldn't have been there. And I'm already speeding. And I thought, oh, you guys, you've been on too many freeways. No, you want me to speed up? I'm going to slow down. Because I'm a little passive-aggressive that way, Michael.
Oh, that's my brand of pettiness, too. I appreciate it. Well, you know, it's been a great discussion tonight, but it is that time of the evening, and it is time to draw to a close. Like we said earlier, we have American Thanksgiving next week, so taking a little time off to kind of get prepared for a family dinner. And then we're going to be back with Dr. Kelly again, talking about either entitlement or obligation.
Well,
I mean to cut you off earlier.
I just want to say, don't let them push you around out there, people. But I think we already did that. And I wish you all a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, wonderful. And of course, I was going to throw it to you for that before we sign off. So, yep, don't let them push you around out there. Elbows up. And, you know.
Yay.
Embrace your true selves and live a good life. So, can't wait to see you. Not next week, but the week after. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Until we meet again, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.